It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free. I was born free.
All right, thank you very much, Kid Rock. It is Wednesday, May 27th, 2026. Well, what a cool show we have today. Normally, it's a school district, but we have David Rose in the studio. Yes, he is the president of the school board locally, but he's also a candidate for Legislative District 30 state representative. And welcome to the show,
hey,
David.
Good to see you. Thanks. Always great to be with you, Paul.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And if you want to talk to David Rose, you have a question that you would like to ask of this person who is on the primary ballot, give us a call, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. Or you can text us at 928-727-5566. Again, 928-727-5566. Around the bottom of the hour, Taylor Harrison's going to be on. You know Taylor.
Yeah.
Who doesn't know Taylor, right?
Right.
Taylor Harrison's running for city council here in Lake Havasu City. He's a candidate. And, We've almost gone through them all, but we've got three more scheduled in June. We've got the two incumbents, Michelle Lynn and Jenny Koch, and then we have Terry Parcells also the first couple weeks in June. We have those three. So anyway, let's get down to brass tacks. Why not, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm here.
So you're already the school board president in Lake Havasu City.
Correct.
Volunteer position.
It is.
Right? Why would you run for state representative where now you have to drive to Phoenix instead of just to Lake Havasu High?
Well,
or I'm sorry, to the administrative office.
Yeah. Paul, we have a lot of people that want to run for office, but we need fighters. As you know, what is going on in Phoenix has been a nightmare. You know, there has Sonny Borelli calls it the Viper Pit. And you have to have people in office that A, can get legislation done. Not just show up and tell you what they're going to do and then get to Phoenix and absolutely do nothing. And our current delegation has been able to do that. All of them have been amazing leaders, and we need that to continue. I've already been able to do that on our local school board. I've been able to get policy done, and I've been able to get the Democrats on the board that serve to vote with us. I've built a relationship across the aisle and have made conservative policy make sense. And have built those coalitions, and that's super important. That's the same thing that has to happen at the state capitol. You got to be able to have conversations, and you got to have someone that understands the difference between being an activist and governing. Because once the election is over, the activist has to go away till the next election. Not that you're not advocating for strong conservative policies, because that's what you're there for, but you have to do it in a common sense conservative way.
Okay, so it's almost a contradiction in what you just said, right? Mm-hmm. You can reach across the aisle here locally. When you get to Phoenix, though, you have is this Montenegro the speaker?
Yes.
Okay, so Steve Montenegro is the speaker. Let's say you do reach across to a Democrat, but you don't go through Montenegro first or the House leadership or whatever, and they, I'm not saying reprimand, but you called it a viper pit.
It right? is.
How do you get that bipartisanship?
So you got to find the relationships with the more moderate Democrats who also understand common sense legislation that have not yet been totally radicalized by their party.
Are there any?
There's a couple, you know, not very many, but there's a couple. And just being able, you know, Representative Biasucci is a prime example. He's been able to get the governor to sign legislation. He still is able to sit at the table. He's got Democrats to come on board with some of his legislation because he understands how to work across the aisle and have those hard conversations. And, that's extremely important.
Okay. How is your experience on a school board? How does that relate to the legislature? Does that give you enough experience, some experience, or what do you expect to learn in Phoenix as far, or is education one of your issues then?
Education will be one of the issues that I am, going to be passionate about. Mm-hmm. You know, when we look at education in the state of Arizona, we are 47th in the nation when it comes to student proficiency. And we have to fix that. That's unacceptable. I've already spoke with the Speaker of the House about going on to the Education Committee and being a voice on the state level, and continuing to make a difference on the district level as well. I will remain on the school board. You can serve in both positions, because the school board is non-paid. So I will be able to be a voice for LD 30 in education at the state capitol and really bring the experience to the table of what is happening in local school districts, especially accountability. That's extremely important. Is we must bring accountability to the school boards. They're the ones making the decisions. What happens a lot of time, from my experience, is they just go with what the staff says. And we've not done that. We've done our own research, and it's been great. So I'll be able to do that. And as far as your question about experience, you can never stop learning. I think that's important. Does it give me experience? Do I have experience going? I don't just have experience from writing policy and implementing policy on the local level, but serving on President Trump's National Faith Advisory Board, I'm also working on federal policy. And so I travel to D.C., we meet with POTUS, we meet our team to work on policy that defends people of faith. We sit down, have conversations with U.S. senators, with congressmen to get them on board. So I'm doing that already on a national level. And so going to the state level, I'll be able to do the same thing.
I asked all of your primary opponents the same question. How do you work as a team? Okay, now I know you're from Louisville, and the Louisville Cardinals are great, Denny Crum and all that, but have you ever been on a team,
yeah,
like sports team or any other team where you've had to collaborate with other people, not just your ideas, but other ideas fit in as well? And how would you work? There's a second part to this question. How would you work with those people that you've run against in the campaign and maybe not, you know, maybe flattering things weren't said on one side or the other, but now they're your seatmate?
Yeah, no, hey,
how do you transition to that?
That's a great question. First of all, I grew up playing sports, so I grew up understanding what teamwork looked like. And then as a leader, you know, whenever I got into ministry, you know, when you lead as a pastor, it's a team. You know, it's not just me. I have, first of all, I have a board that I'm accountable to. You know, some of the rumors, you know, I've heard out there, oh, David Rose owns his own church, which is not true at all. I have a board of directors that I am accountable to, and I have a board president that oversees our board, and so we work as a team. And then along with my staff, you know, I have a church staff, a youth pastor, worship, you know, we work as a team in doing ministry, building vision. And I've done the same thing on the school board. You know, whenever I got elected to kind of the second part of the question, how do you, after an election,
how do you transition?
Mm-hmm. So I think Lisa Ramon and myself are the perfect example of that. You know, during the school board race, our race was pretty nasty. There was a lot of back and forth, between Lisa and myself, on policy. You know, it wasn't personal attacks, maybe a little bit, but it didn't get like some of this campaign has. But after the election, I sat down with Lisa and I said, look, we have to work together and do what's best for kids. We got to put kids first, and we're going to disagree on things. And we've been able to do that. It's been great. It's been great for the district. And, you know, that's what leadership looks like. And I'm willing and able to bring that same thing to LD 30, to the House of Representatives. And I'm going to be a team player with whoever my seatmate is. We're going to work, even if it's one of, you know, if someone that is in the race that has, you know, attacked me or disagrees with me or whatever the issue is. When the election's over, we have to come together and do what's best for our district. And we've had a great team with our current delegation, and that has to continue to happen because, you know, I go to the Capo, I testify in front of committee. There's a lot of legislators from districts that don't get along and are fighting. And when that happens, nothing's getting done for your district. You know, so they're spending more time fighting each other and not, you know, not doing anything for their district. We've been the exception of that. We've had a team that is working together between Representative Gillette, Representative Biasucci in the House, and our senator. They are able to get things done, and they may not agree on everything, but they put the district first.
Right.
And we have to continue to do that.
Now, we talked about the Education Committee before.
Correct.
And your desire to serve on that committee. Mm-hmm. It seems like the year that, or the term, the year that Regina Cobb was in appropriations, mm-hmm. the district did, it seemed like, not really well from a money standpoint. It just seemed like everything or most of what we asked for came our way. Mm-hmm. Would you be good at a committee on a committee like that?
Absolutely.
On appropriations.
Yeah, no,
that's budget, obviously.
Yeah, no, I've done that here with our budget in the school district. You know, when we look at when we came in, we had an audit done. We discovered $26 million of funds that were sitting in dormant accounts to just as, like a savings account. You know, the money, there was no fraudulent activity with the funds, nothing like that. It mm-hmm. was like a rainy day fund. And that, all while our teachers were not getting raises, things in the district were not being taken care of. And we fixed that immediately. We took that money. We gave teachers the biggest raise they'd ever seen. Our starting pay, Paul, for a brand new teacher was only $30,000.
Really?
For a brand new teacher in the district, with benefits maybe 35. Now with benefits we're at 55 for a brand new teacher. We fixed that because we want great quality teachers in the classroom, and you're not going to get that if you're not willing to pay for it. And as well as the infrastructure of our district. You know, the Thunderbolt Middle School was, you know, decades outdated. And we put and invested into the infrastructure. We're going to continue to do that. We're having those conversations because it all belongs to the taxpayers. So as elected officials, we have a responsibility to be good stewards.
Public lands have been a huge focus lately along the Colorado River. Bullhead
Correct.
City, which
yeah.
is part of the district, obviously.
Yeah.
You have that all that land behind the field mm-hmm. house that was auctioned.
Yeah.
You have the auction that was on the island here
yeah.
in Lake Havasu City. All down the Parker Strip in that. Is that LD30 also?
It is, yeah.
What should the state focus on as a management strategy as far as public lands go?
That's a great conversation. First, those conversations need to start with the local cities, you know, their vision. You know, I'm going to be a total proponent of local control at the state capitol. And for what Governor Hobbs is doing is just unacceptable. It's a free-for-all with state land right now. We need to bring accountability to that. It is hurting communities. And what's going to end up happening, we're going to see development overnight if we don't get this under control. And I'm all for growth. You know, growth is important. Communities are growing. But it's got to be healthy. It's got to be the right growth. And the local community, the citizens that live there, the voters that live there, the taxpayers, their voice needs to be heard on what is happening in their community, the things that are being developed. And that is not happening right now, especially with Katie Hobbs as governor. So we need to fix that.
How would you prioritize state spending, for example, with education, law enforcement, infrastructure?
That's great.
Okay. How would you prioritize?
For me, because I'm going to be a rural legislator, you know, Representative Biasucci and Representative Gillette have been working really hard for rural Arizona to bring funding back to our district. We know that they worked hard to get funding for the second bridge. We see 95 finally got paved thanks to Representative Biasucci. That is the type of work I want to continue in the House, is taking care of our rural communities. I want to help fix health care. Mm-hmm. Health care is a major need in rural Arizona. I want funding for that to help fix that issue. Continue to fix our roads and our infrastructure. Those things are important. Education is important. Rural schools are less funded than our schools in the Valley and the Phoenix area. So we need to fix that as well and look at that. So funding for me for rural Arizona, we don't need to be treated like the stepchild anymore. And we need a representative, who's going to come along and continue to stand up and say, no, we need to take care of Mojave and La Paz and, take care of our infrastructure, or else we're going to be in trouble because we're growing.
Right.
And we need to be able to keep up with that.
So you talked about Highway 95 and the funding and the, I don't know how many miles were paved, but it's quite a bit. So now that that's done, right, where is Mojave County lacking, or Havasu or Bullhead or any city in your district? Where are they lacking where the state can help fill the gap?
I would say specifically law enforcement. You know, we have young officers that are moving here and they're not staying because they can't afford to raise their family here. We want officers that when they move here, we want them to raise their family in our communities. And so those conversations are extremely important to sit down with Chief Sterling and with our sheriff and say, what can I do as a representative to help you keep officers here? Because they want that. Sheriff Schuster wants that. And I want to be a partner in that to help fix indie funding issues that we have for our sheriff's office. I think, and our local PD, I think those conversations are extremely important, as well as with making sure they have the equipment, to be able to keep up. You know, technology is constantly changing for law enforcement, as well as our firefighters, EMS, all of those things. We have a lot of desert rescue. I was just having this conversation with Chief Sterling this weekend. We're talking about desert rescue and making sure, you know, they're able to have drones and all of those things, for search and rescue. So I want to continue to fight. And I think if we're not careful, those are the things that can fall behind. And we need to be able to stay up to date with those.
Have you met with Police Chief Cooper or I think it's Chief George now in Bullhead City?
The new chief I've not met.
I think it's George.
Yeah, I think that is it. I've not met with him yet. Did meet with the previous chief. I've met with our chief. Last night I had the opportunity to meet the chief of police of Courtside, Arizona, the La Paz County Sheriff. Uh-huh. Had great conversations with the very things that we're talking about right now, and those were their concerns, because rural law enforcement are all dealing with the same necessities, the same needs, and they just feel like they're falling behind, and we got to bring them up to date and equip them because we got to support our law enforcement.
How far do you go in this district? Courtside and you go
all the way to Wickenburg.
Buckeye?
Wickenburg.
Oh, okay.
All the way to Wickenburg and up to Colorado City.
No longer Buckeye?
No.
Oh, that's the congressional district.
Yeah, that's CD9.
CD9, right. Which is Paul Gosar, of course. Congressional
Correct.
District. I'm going to break down the acronyms for those of you who are acronym challenged.
Yeah.
Oh, they're out there. Trust me. All right. Again, David Rose is our guest. He is a candidate for Legislative District 30 State Representative. And just a reminder, you can call in 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR, or text your questions to 928-727-5566. He's only on for maybe 10 more minutes, maybe. That's including the break. So I better shut up and go to break, right? Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out.
And stripes and the eagle flies. It's a big old land with countless dreams, and happiness ain't out of reach.
All right, we're back on Speak Out. Our guest is Legislative District 30 State Rep candidate David Rose from Lake Havasu City. And how many miles would you say, David, you put on the car so far during the campaign?
Oh, my goodness.
I got this from another candidate.
Probably 15,000, maybe.
1,000? Wow.
Yeah, it's...
Wow.
You know, we're constantly all over the district. It's a lot. So maybe, you know, close to that. Maybe not as much.
Tires are okay. Everything's
yeah,
okay.
Oils change.
That's
we've rotated
three,
the
that's
tires.
That's like three oil changes right
yeah,
there, man.
Yeah, it has been. But right. you have to think, I've been campaigning since last July.
Yeah, true. Very true. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative, by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, and Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo, home to the Booby Dropper on Main Street here in Havasu. And we're back with David Rose, and I don't want to ask these in any order, right? But I want to talk about housing,
yeah,
especially short-term rentals. Mm-hmm. And we know Governor Ducey signed that bill, like 2018, I want to say, limits cities quite a bit as far as what they can do with short-term rentals. Is there any hope on the horizon? If you're elected, what could you do? And what have you heard out of Phoenix?
Right now, that's not a hot topic as far
really?
As that bill's. It is. I mean, affordability is the hot topic.
Yeah, but what's affordable to you might not be affordable
correct.
To me.
So for me, running legislation to fix the problem, it should go back to local control. I disagreed with Governor Ducey's view on that. I think that it should be up to the community what they want their housing to look like, what they want short-term rentals to look like. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, my viewpoint is limited government, and whenever the state doesn't like it, whenever the feds come in and tell them how to run the state, and we should reciprocate that to the local communities and allow them. The only time the state government should step in is if we're the local community, the local government is violating the constitutional rights of the constituents. And at that point, the state government has a responsibility to protect the people and come in and stop that. So I would totally be in support of legislation that repeals Governor Ducey's legislation on short-term rentals and give local control back to the cities. I think that's extremely important and allows them to make those decisions. Affordability is a major, major conversation that everyone is having. Unfortunately, right now, I think water is a little bit, you know, more on the talking point, but affordability is there. And when we look at the next generation, they're priced out of the market. And there's a difference between starter homes for young couples. And then when we, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times when you talk about affordable housing, you know, people are thinking, oh, they're going to have Section 8 housing, those types of things. And nobody wants that. You know, we understand that. That's not the goal. So when we look at what can we do here in rural Arizona, I think there is growth opportunities. When we look at Havasu Heights, different areas, Kingman, Bullhead, there's opportunities to build affordable housing. What I would call starter homes or workforce housing, to be able to keep these people here. We want, you know, we talked earlier about officers being able to stay here, raise their children here. And so we got to have those conversations. I know they're tough conversations, but I also believe in a free market. And so allowing the market to do what it does, I believe in free market. Obviously, we as conservatives do, but also think we got to have the tough conversations for the next generation. If we want them to stay here, what does a starter home look like, and how do we protect that from turning into a slum?
So we only have a couple minutes left,
yeah.
And I want to get a final statement out of you, but how do we retain our young people in this county, in this district? How do we retain them so they don't go to Phoenix, they don't go to Vegas, they don't go to Los Angeles and try to find a better life there? How do we keep them here?
Opportunity. That's what's important. We have to provide career opportunities for them to stay. And it starts, Paul, in the school district for us, continuing to grow through our CTE programs, trade schools. Some of them, you know, some of our folks that, you know, students coming out don't want to go to college. They want to get, become, you know, go into HVAC and plumbing, those, you know,
trades.
So we need to, trades, we mm-hmm. need to support that. But opportunity for businesses, opportunity for families, that is key. So what ties into that is affordability. We need to make it affordable for them to stay here, to want to raise their family here, and to grow, you know, to grow into the $500,000 home. And so we look at opportunities for them to start out in a, you know, affordable house that they can raise their children in, grow into their income, their businesses, and those types of things. So those are the conversations that we have to have.
All right. I'm not sure if my next guest is here yet.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and ask you the question, why should people vote for you for state representative for Legislative District 30?
Absolutely.
So he is here, by the way.
Okay.
So you have a, what, you can vote for two.
Correct.
And it's a five candidate field. Why should the voters vote for David Rose?
Number one, I'm currently the only person in this race that is currently elected to office that has experience, whenever it comes to this position, or policy. I'm endorsed by the current representative, John Gillette, to replace him in the Arizona House. I've also been endorsed by Turning Point USA, Monster America. I've been endorsed by yours truly, Paul Lavoie.
No, that would be yours truly.
Yeah.
Full disclosure,
yeah,
folks.
And so I have the support of the community, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be a fighter. I'm going to fight for rural Arizona. I'm able to get things done. I'm the guy that's going to get stuff done. Everything that I campaigned on in my school board race is already done. We've done it. We did it within our first year, and I've led those initiatives, and I will continue to do the same at the Arizona House. I will continue to fight to represent, protect our families, protect our children, protect our future. For more information, go to votedavidrose.com.
The best part about endorsing a candidate, now I watch you extra closely so I can unendorse you. Seriously. All right. David Rose, our guest, and again, he's running for Legislative District 30, State Representative. And election day, July 21st?
Yeah, June 24th starts early voting.
Right.
And July 21st is the primary. Looking forward to it.
I try not to push early voting. I'm sorry. I'm a purist.
Yeah, no, hey, you know, it's all good.
I don't believe in mail-in ballots unless you're infirmed or you're in the military. All right? That's just old school, right?
Right.
I like the Sonny Borelli method, the purple ink thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? All right. Anyway, good to have you on the show.
Hey, thanks as always. It's a pleasure being here.
Again, Taylor Harrison up next. He's a candidate for Lake Havasu City Council. Stay with us on Speak Out.
Even though I'm leaving, I ain't going nowhere. That will be late.
In Texas, find a tall old tree, round up all of them bad boys, hang them high in the street.
All right, we're back on Speak Out. Taylor Harrison is here. Can you hear me now?
I got you, Paul.
You sound good. You sound really good. And tell the folks in Havasu what Taylor Harrison's all about before I read these short billboards.
All righty. I moved here in 2009 from Wisconsin. And I actually graduated high school here. I graduated from ASU Lake Havasu here. And just since then got hyper involved in the community. So a lot of folks have probably seen me at a variety of organizations, Balloon Fest, Rotary, Builders Association, etc. Raising my family here, got my son, he's 15 months old now.
Oh, congratulations.
Hey, thank you.
Not a great age yet. But you're getting there.
Yeah. Hey, oh, he's amazing.
Is like, he a handful?
He's a handful. He's
walking, right?
He's right at that stage where he's learning that walking is something he can do. Yeah.
He can probably chew gum but not walk.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. That's where that phrase comes from. Right?
All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, Laughlin Ranch, by Mojave College, also Shooter's Outpost, Solar Power by SMA Electric, by Doritos Place, Legacy Rehab and Care, and by A&B Propane, online at abpropaneaz.com. And don't forget to buy local or buy local. You're a local business owner.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. And that's what we try to tell people. You know, if you don't shop here, it goes away.
100%.
All right. And then all we're left with is Amazon or whatever. So, yeah, if you can get it here locally, go into the store, say, hey, thanks for sponsoring Speak Out. We really appreciate you. So, what, if anything, would you change about how Lake Havasu City Council conducts its business, communicates with the public, and handles major decisions, Taylor?
Yeah, jumping right into it. So I want to be clear, too. I'm not running from a position of, hey, this is what's wrong and this is what we need to change, right? I'm running out of a position of, hey, let's keep Havasu this beautiful place that we all choose to live in, right? And so, you know, that question kind of, to me, I think one of the bigger challenges with council is just if you've been to local or recent meetings, rather, you can kind of see there's a dynamic there. And in certain meetings, sometimes it's, you know, it's maybe not a healthy dynamic. It seems a little competitive, a little, you know, unpleasant, I suppose you could say. And I want to bring that level of working together back to our city and back to our council. So I've had meetings with all of the current members of council, city staff, mayor, both Chief Palapas and Chief Sterling, because, you know, one person can't affect change without, you know, the, right, the culmination, right? So, I mean, obviously, if elected, I'm only one voice out of seven.
Well, it's interesting how you say, I want to keep Havasu beautiful, where a lot of people say, you know, what happened to Havasu?
Sure.
That's a very curious comment to me.
Yeah.
Because of all the places I've lived, this is one of the nicest.
Absolutely. So, it's, you know, I'm not going to pretend like it's all rainbows and butterflies, right? There's
right,
opportunities here, right?
Right.
But you mentioned earlier that I run a business, and one of the biggest benefits of my business is it exists in Havasu, Kingman, Bullhead, and all the way down in Yuma. And so I do see Havasu from a little bit different lens. I see it, like I'm raising my family here. I choose to live here among, you know, all the locations of our stores. But on a regular basis, I'm in these other communities. And I can say with a straight face to anybody that's willing to ask, Havasu is the best community of all of them.
Do you go to or watch city council meetings? There's a two-part question. And as far as call to the public goes, would you keep it at the beginning or put it at the beginning of a meeting or at the end of a meeting? And what is the reason for your decision?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So I have made every single council meeting since starting my journey on first city council here, mm-hmm, with the exception of last night's meeting. My son got some shots about an hour before the meeting started. So 15-month-old got a shot. So I spent a little time with the kiddo. But, uh-huh, of course, you know, you watch the meeting from home and stuff. But
sure.
I believe in being at the meetings makes the biggest difference in feeling the environment. So, to answer your question, call to the public before or after the meeting. You know, it's a unique decision. I think that's best to ask the citizens and the people that come to the meetings, because I could see the pros for it and the cons, right? So it's my understanding it used to be at the beginning of the meeting. It got moved to the end because there were a couple people that, you know, were kind of took over the meeting right, mm-hmm, at the beginning of the meeting, right? And that's how it got shifted to the end. So I understand you don't want that call to the public to take over the whole agenda, right?
Right, right.
And we saw that in a Go Lake Havasu work session where it bled over into the city council meeting. They didn't get what they wanted to done at the work session and, you know, it pushed back the council meeting. You don't want that for the meetings, but by putting it at the beginning of the meeting, you're able to kind of hear the community input before the meeting even starts. So, there's pros and cons to both. You know, really, for me, the decision would be, what do the constituents say? What do the 60,000 residents,
okay,
of Lake Havasu think?
That's fair.
Yeah.
Recent developments with Go Lake Havasu have seen personnel files basically leave the building. And I'm talking about paper files, physical files. And there's people, those are people's records, their privacy in that. And, you know, with, what, three CEOs in the last two and a half years? Is it time to bring Go Lake Havasu in-house at the city, or do you leave it as an independent agency with a board as it is now?
Yeah, Go Lake Havasu has been a big topic of conversation, and rightfully so, right? There's been a lot of turnover with the CEO, and I saw that article you were talking about, or the email from the previous CEO about those files, and, you know, that's it. It needs to be looked at. It needs to be, for lack of a better word, policed better. And so recently we did, we as the city, mm-hmm, switched. Now the council liaison is the voting member instead of the city manager. So we're trending in the right direction, I think, for some changes to positively influence that. But to answer your direct question, I don't know if now is the right time to bring it under the guise of the city. I think that there are advantages to having it as a separate organization from how they can support events and stuff. Because there are things the city can't do. Like, for example, I'm executive director for the Balloon Fest. And for the city to say, hey, we're going to donate some money to the Balloon Fest, you know, legally, it's a sticky point, right? But
the optics aren't good.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got you.
But for Go Lake Havasu to do it as, mm-hmm, you know, organization that's funded through, you know, taxpayer dollars, but it's its own organization, you know, they could do that. So I think there are advantages. And as a business owner, I think there are things that private business can do well and efficiently. But it does need to be looked at more, discussed more, and I love now in the city council meetings, this started a couple meetings ago, we're getting better at giving reports from the liaisons on the city council that attend these meetings.
Right.
And I think the most important thing too, I've been to a lot of these Go Lake Havasu meetings because I know it's a concern. So I've been sitting in the rooms trying to figure out that dynamic and everything. And I think that's where you can best make the decision for the changes.
I'm going to stay on the topic, but I'm going to bring in Partnership for Economic Development too.
Yeah.
How should the city balance its support for tourism and economic development? So as it currently stands, two organizations that receive that support and work closely with the city are Go Lake Havasu and the PED. Is there anything that concerns you about those two organizations and how they are funded?
Yeah, so Go Lake Havasu, obviously we have the concerns with the CEOs, right,
mm-hmm.
and the turnover. And I think it's important to take somebody that's you know, and this is my opinion, but I think that you can train somebody how to do a job if they have the right mentality. You can't train a love for Lake Havasu, right? So I think...
You have to have the ownership.
Right. So I think instead of looking globally for a CEO for Go Lake Havasu, maybe we just look inside of our city. We can train the skill set for a DMO to run a DMO. That's all trainable. You can't train a passion for our community. So
a DMO. We have to break down acronyms here.
Destination marketing organizations.
Very good. All right.
So I think that's important. I think we look internally, certainly. And then we touching on the PED. So they often get lumped together, but these two they have two totally separate functions. So of the $2.1 million, PED gets $500,000. Go Lake Havasu gets $1.6 million. The PED, I had a meeting with James. I believe it was last Friday. James runs the PED. For
James
those
Gray.
Yep. And we had a really good conversation. And I think something PED is really bad at is telling people what they're good at and telling people what they're doing. And there are some reasons for it, right? Like
confidentiality.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably the biggest. But it was a really good conversation had with him. And really, it's cool to know that the PED isn't just focused on inside the city limits of Havasu, because just beyond the city are opportunities for businesses to come that still positively impact our economic growth here in Havasu. So I definitely think that those are things that we need to keep an eye on, right, as council members and stuff. But, yeah.
So that said, Bullhead City is doing their own economic development, right? They're doing their own recruiting. They've gotten the Olive Garden that everybody talks about. It's coming to Bullhead City now. Kingman has Gary Kellogg and Bennett Bratley in-house.
Yep.
Do we bring PED in-house here in Havasu? Can the city do just as good a job as being done now?
You know, Paul, that one is a better question, I think, than Go Lake Havasu,
okay.
Personally, because before this campaign, you know, I had talked to some people, because it's not uncommon. In fact, it's probably more common than not to have a PED within inside the city. And I've had that conversation with a lot of folks. And so, you know, we could look at those discussions and stuff. But quite frankly, after my meeting with James, they are doing quite a few things. And I love your comparison to Bullhead and Kingman too, though.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Because I see these communities on a regular basis. Kingman's growing at a rapid pace, more so than Havasu and Bullhead both, okay? And a lot of that is attributed to being right on the 40. So there are things that those communities have that we don't have, but there are some things that Havasu has that those communities don't have too, and I think it's safe to say we're still probably the gem of Mojave County.
All three are very, very, very different. You're right. Again, we're talking with Taylor Harrison, a candidate for Lake Havasu City Council. You can call in 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR, or send us a text question, 928-727-5566. Make this talk and text radio, not just listen radio. How should the Main Street Commons fit into the city's larger downtown strategy? Do you agree with what's happened at Main Street Commons as far as the development goes?
I don't think you could ask one person in this town, Paul, that says, hey, do you love exactly what this is? I don't think any community member is going to say this is exactly what I thought this
okay,
should be.
Okay, fair.
So, no, I really don't. But I do think it's better than what it was before. Do I think it was expensive? Absolutely, right? Another role I serve, I'm currently vice president of downtown Havasu. And if elected, I'd step down from that role because I feel like there's a little conflict of interest there.
Okay.
I do like the Main Street Commons area for community get together. I love the idea of, really our Main Street becoming, it just a place for people to get together, and socialize and hang out. Let me throw an example out there of something that I didn't exactly love the way it shook out regarding that project. I'm glad that we're near. It looked to me like driving down here, it looks like all the shades are up now. We could say we're about done with the project now. But when the concession stand and bathroom combo came across, I would have loved to see those come across as separate agenda items, because it's my opinion that when we started construction on this, bathrooms should have been a priority. If we're going to bring people together at an event space, I think bathrooms are a necessity, right? And for those that have concerns about a transient population using the restrooms, I get it. They're downtown. That's a whole different conversation, but those doors to the restrooms are locked when there's not events going on. But back to what I was saying, I think the concession stand should have been separate, because I don't know that we need a concession stand there right now, but we certainly needed bathrooms. So I think, as far as an agenda item, that's one example of something that I think those should have been separated, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know why, staying on that restroom issue, why facing north is such a big deal, or the way they face. I think it's a cooling thing. Keep those door handles cool, you know?
Sure.
They face the other way. The sun's on them pretty much all day. So,
right.
One more question, and I want to talk about special events. All right. Is it the city's responsibility to make sure that the city supports local businesses, events, and the community? And this is a two-part question, but I don't want to ask the next part yet.
To an extent. And I say that, like, that's what the chamber's for, is to support local businesses, right? That's their core function, is to support local businesses.
Mm-hmm.
The Partnership for Economic Development is also another organization that is supposed to bring economic drivers, i.e. businesses, to our town. Is it directly our city's responsibility? I would say no, but I indirectly it is, because businesses support our local economy. They support, like we talked about, buying local and keeping our dollar share. So I would say more indirectly, but giving proper support and oversight, important word here, to the PED is one of them, but I don't know about directly.
So major events, just to add on to that, like Desert Storm, pay permit fees to host their event. Obviously, you probably paid those out of organizations that you've been with.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's fair that those events are charged fees even though they're bringing in major sources of tax revenue, especially your Desert Storm? Or was it the Cat Fest?
Super Cat Fest,
thank you.
That one's down at Riviera, but
oh, okay.
Talking about the ones that are downtown, Parker 425s, Winterfest.
I'm talking about whatever comes
Storm.
To Havasu, gotcha. And brings in people, brings in revenue.
There are certain, and that's a great question, because there are certain reasons that you do need to collect some. For example, this is a sad state of our nation, but we've seen a lot of people that prey on large events and want to run cars through populations of people, right? And in my conversations, being vice president of downtown Havasu and meeting with assistant city manager Anthony Kozlowski about this, there's a big cost there that goes to barriers and the EMS and everything too. So from the city standpoint, they do need to cover those costs. But they did recently work on lowering those prices, because honestly, Paul, yeah, you're absolutely right. It was getting out of hand. It's thousands of dollars to close down Main Street.
I know what DSM events paid for their permit, and they had to negotiate it.
Yeah,
it was crazy. I don't want to say the amount.
Yeah,
so.
it's a lot, but it's enlightening to see at least the flexibility, I think, from the city regarding that, because that's one of those indirect things that I was saying that the city could kind of do to help with those things, because absolutely, tourism's a big part of Havasu, economic drivers, so we want to help keep those events coming here. Parker 425 this last year is a great example. We never had that event. It was here. I think it was really cool. It could be another Desert Storm type event. We want those events to keep coming here.
Sounds like you get to get out quite a bit. as far as around town and events and that sort of thing. We have about a minute left. I want you to tell the voters of Lake Havasu City why they should support Taylor Harrison for city council.
Yeah, so this decision to run for city council isn't a new decision. I didn't decide this last week, last month, recently. I decided this 6 years ago. And this is out of a spirit of serving our community. So I've been involved in a lot of organizations, and I've seen it from those perspectives. Mm-hmm. But why now did I decide? Because I decided 6 years ago at a the Leadership Lake Havasu, that they had a city council day. I decided back then, but why now? Mm-hmm. Because I have I just had my son, so now I get to see Havasu from the lens of business owner, community activist, and now father, as well as high school and college graduate. So I'm already involved in the community. I'm attending all of these meetings, and really I've just got a passion for the community to serve, and that's really it.
Is he going to play sports, and which one?
Well, my stepson actually is in travel soccer. He's 11.
Awesome.
So we do that. Yep. Yeah. And he's in rec. I'd love it if my son Sammy would play, would wrestle. I'm a wrestler.
Were you a wrestler?
Yep.
One of the stinky guys. All right. My listeners know what that means. So, all right. Taylor Harrison, our guest. I'm going to have you back on for another half hour. So that's not like your final say right there. Okay.
Yep.
All right. We'll schedule you back for another half hour. Probably either before or during early voting.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Hey, no problem. Back with more in a moment. I'll have a final shot. When we come back, stay with us on Speak Out. All right, welcome back to Speak Out. No, we have not forgotten. And don't forget, speaking of have you forgotten, Brian Springberg on tomorrow, Sound Advice. We salvaged an hour for you, Brian. Diamondbacks play today. Looks like the pregame show starts in about 30 seconds here on KNTR Sports, 980 AM, 94.3 and 100.5. D-backs on a four-game winning streak right now. And Leo Biasucci will be on Friday talking about his run for state senate. All right, Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.